Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Health Talk Radio. I am Donald Snowden. So excited to be back again for another week. It's been a great week. I've been in health transformation mode. And it's been wonderful, really transformation mentally, spiritually, and physically. And it's been challenging. Today is day 24. Started on the 1st of April, and I've made a point to make sure that I'm posting every day, make sure that I'm chiming in every day, because I'm using you guys as my accountability partners. And so, therefore, I like to make sure that I'm doing what needs to be done, and it keeps me motivated. It also helps those out there who are wanting to be on a journey or who are on a journey get themselves together. So it's super exciting when you let people in. Having to be on Facebook every day or having to chime in on Facebook every day is kind of tough. Just that, you know, you live a normal life, or some would say a private life, but at the same time, you know, you have to have that level of accountability, and there's no better accountability partners than your friends on Facebook or people who may be watching. So, it's just exciting to be able to go through it and have everybody come along. And then on the, next week, I'll be starting the 30-day liver detox again. And that's an amazing detox because, again, not only does it, you know, not only do you lose weight and get healthier, but it really just gets your body back to ground zero. And in this 30 days, it's not really, it's kind of intense, but at the same time, it's worth it. You know, it requires you to eat well. It requires you to be disciplined. Hey, cousin, but one of the things that you'll find is once you start to do something like that, the cravings start to subside, the body starts to get realigned. And so my whole goal and my point and my purpose was to start this transformation before I started the detox. And so that means whatever weight I've lost or whatever I've done since then is just going to be, you know, kind of doubled. Because once I start doing the detox, then, you know, that's another level of management. But working out has been good. You know, I've always prided myself in being in shape. But, you know, my goal now is kind of a goal that I didn't have before, and that's to get in football shape. Like when I used to play football, and I find the older you get, you know, the harder they say it is, or the differences that you find that trying to get in shape or trying to lose weight or whatever is harder the older you get. But I really find that that's just really based on your level of discipline and how hard you are willing to work to stay on top of it. So for me, you know, if I get called up tomorrow, which I have no desire to play football again, but if I got called up tomorrow, I would be ready. And my motto is kind of, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. And, you know, I have an 8-year-old son that's growing up as well. And so just for him to be able to work out with me sometimes and to, you know, help me working out, or he wants to record me, or he wants to do certain exercises, it's just another level of camaraderie for us and another level for us to be able to connect with one another. And just him see me constantly trying to better myself, constantly trying to grow, because if you're not growing, you're dying. You know, he'll come and sit on my lap sometimes while I'm reading and just ask me what I'm reading, and then I'll explain it to him, and then he'll get up and leave. That's enough for him. But for me, it's just setting that example to him and showing, you know, and just kind of being a leader in the sense of, you know, you see it and it's not the first time. And so he sees me reading. So when I tell him, Jamie, you have to read, you got to get your reading done, he understands that. And so, you know, he still doesn't want to do it because most 8-year-olds don't, but he understands that there must be a benefit in it because my dad reads or my mom reads. And so, you know, it's just good to be able to be part of that. And I appreciate you telling me you don't have any sound. Can you hear me? I don't really know what to do about that. If you can hear me, somebody give me a thumbs up, please. But anyway, hopefully whatever's going on will fix itself. But, you know, I'm really just working on – hey, Sade, thanks. Appreciate it. You know, really just working on, you know, this transformation and getting myself to where I need to be. And hopefully, you know, somebody will come along. Somebody will see that, you know what, man, it's hard. It truly is. Like, we get up every day and we do everything that's hard. You know, you get up and if you work a job you hate, it's hard. If you have a job you like, it's hard. The only thing about it is that you feel a little bit better about doing it because you know it's something that's worth your time. It's something that's valuable to you. It brings you value. But there's a lot of things that we do that don't bring us value. And so we just stop trying to figure out life. And, you know, you get in situations because life happens to everybody. I mean, nobody is immune from life. I don't care if you're a billionaire, if you're poor, if you're broke, if you're fat, you're skinny. It don't matter. Like, life happens to everybody. And it's really just how we deal with it. And how you deal with it allows your character to be built up. It builds your character. It strengthens your character. It gives you a greater level of integrity. And your experiences, you know, when you experience things, that's what you know. You don't know anything else besides what you've experienced in life. And so with those level of experiences that you have, that's what you can pass on. That's what you can give to other people. That's what other people can take from you, as are the experiences, and they'll have their own. So it's important that you have experiences in life, and it's important that we go through things in life. And there's not always going to be somebody there to help us or to hold our hand, but it's up to us to just push through it. And it's not about, like, what happens to us, is what we learn from it or what we do from it and how we bounce back. And that's really what keeps us going. So that's kind of, you know, my lead-in for today. But my topic, which has kind of been, you know, it's always a sense of conversation. And, you know, I think there's a lot of misnomers about it, and it's studied a lot, it's studied so many times, but that's cholesterol. And, you know, a lot of people say, or you may hear, cholesterol is bad for you, you know, and you don't want too high cholesterol. You need some cholesterol. Well, what's high? And what's high compared to what the medical system says is high, and what's high to what your body actually needs? And I'm just going to, you know, we just use common sense and common logic. I mean, we can get to a whole bunch of studies and all of that, but really these topics and these things are for to create a conversation, and to create the conversation such that you may start to look at and research it yourself, because that's what it's all about. My experience and your experience is totally different, and what you get from something and what I get from something may be totally different, but if you do your own scholarship and you do your own research, you'll find out, you know, the things you need to find out. But cholesterol is one of those things that is very serious, because so many of us, especially baby boomers, have been affected by cholesterol positively, but more negatively. And so let me explain to you what cholesterol is. First of all, your body makes 80% of the cholesterol that you need. Cholesterol is produced in the liver, and just about 80% of the cholesterol you need is made within your body. The rest you have to ingest through food, and what foods tend to be high in cholesterol or give you good cholesterol? Eggs, good eggs. And let me talk about eggs for a second, because there's a big thing about eggs. Are eggs good for you? Are eggs bad for you? And some people watched the series called, I think, What the Health back when, and they talked about how bad eggs are for you. And so I really want to go into that, because there is a difference with eggs. When you buy your eggs from the grocery store, those eggs are probably already a month old, if not older, which means that they came from a chicken farm someplace. When they come from the chicken farm, or before, when they're collected at the chicken farm, meaning that these chickens don't necessarily free range. I mean, they might put on the container that they're free range chickens, or they've been fed an all vegetarian diet. Well, chickens aren't vegetarians. So they put these particular labels on things to give you the idea that these animals are treated a certain way, like they live in a penthouse. Chickens aren't vegetarians. Chickens eat bugs, they eat worms. They very rarely eat grass. They may eat cornmeal if you give it to them or some kind of feed, but chickens aren't vegetarians. So to feed a chicken an all-vegetarian diet is doing that chicken a disservice, first of all. Chickens need to be out on the range. They need to be eating the bugs and eating the things that they need to stay healthy and what their traditional diet is. And that's why they have gizzards. We have intestines where we can digest our food. Chickens have gizzards, and those gizzards are what breaks down the food. But that's the first thing. So these chickens lay eggs, and if they're in a chicken farm, it's likely all these chickens are in a big coop or in a big area, and they're just laying eggs all day long. They don't get to walk. They don't get to run around or anything. They're just in this area laying. And even the ones that are able to free range, they're laying eggs, period. Those eggs are collected. Now, when those eggs are collected, because there's so many chickens in one place, there's a lot of feces, there's a lot of dirt, there's a lot of grime on these eggs. When chickens lay eggs, chickens coat, there's a coating that's on the egg that protects the egg from bacteria for a period of time until the egg is ready to hatch. And not all eggs are fertilized. Chickens will lay eggs whether there's a rooster there or not. If there's a rooster there, then some of those eggs will be fertilized, and that's how new baby chickens hatch. But chickens in and of themselves will just lay eggs. So all of them aren't fertilized. There may not be a rooster anywhere around, but they still will lay eggs, sometimes an egg a day. So with these chickens laying eggs, they have to be collected. There's got a lot of stuff on them. Like I said, dirt, grime, feces, and all of these things. When they gather all of those eggs, then they have to be washed off, because they got to wash the grime off. They can't send them to market like that. They can't send them to the grocery store like that. Well, when you wash them, they have to use like this chemical solution to wash the eggs off. When you wash the eggs off, you just wash that coating off that the chickens put on the eggs for them to protect them from bacteria, because chickens don't put their eggs in the refrigerator when they're sitting on them, or they don't do anything to them. They just sit on them and they wait until they hatch. So therefore, this coating gets washed off. The chemicals from the wash that they use leach into the egg. The egg is probably not a fertilized egg, so that all that gets into the yolk and the white part of the egg. Then the egg just sits until it gets to market. So when you get eggs, those eggs are likely so many days, so many months old, plus not to mention they have this chemical on them. So when you crack those eggs and you eat those eggs, yes, there are chemicals that have leached into the egg, and that egg is not an egg that is going to give you as much nutrients or nutrients that you really need. It will help. It will give you some. But I'm talking about all in all, getting all the nutrition you need out of a good chicken egg. So yes, those eggs aren't as great for you because of how they're treated, the chemicals that's put on them, the preservatives that's put on them to keep them in the store. They put them in the refrigerator also. When I get eggs, so I get eggs from people around the corner from me, and it's two ladies that have 20-some, 30-some chickens, And I get about 4 dozen eggs every week, about every week and a half. And I have and my eggs don't go in a refrigerator. But these people, they have eggs. These chickens, they walk around. You see them. I see them every time I show up. They just out grazing or just free ranging, as they call it. And when I get my eggs are only about 7 to 10 days old, if that. And so now my eggs are really, really fresh. They don't go in a refrigerator. They sit on my counter. They sit on the counter right next to the refrigerator. So eggs do not have to go in the refrigerator if you don't wash them, if you don't clean them, because you're not washing that coating off. So my eggs sit right next to the refrigerator. They don't go in the refrigerator. They never go in the refrigerator, and they're normally gone within, like I said, about a week and a half. So I go through about 4 dozen eggs. That's about 3 eggs a day, sometimes 6 if I decide that I'm going to have eggs for dinner. My son eats eggs, so, you know, that may help. His mother eats eggs, so if we have eggs on the weekend, then, you know, that's 6-8 eggs. But we go through a lot of eggs. My cholesterol isn't out of control, and my body feels good. Another thing about these eggs is that when you look at the yolks are really, really bright yellow. It's almost like the sunshine. And if you compare a yolk, and I'm going to do that one day on live when I do this show, I'm going to compare. If I was home, I'd do it now. But I'm going to compare a yolk from a grocery store to a yolk from an egg that's about 3 or 4 days old, and you'll see the complete difference between those two. And so that's the difference in why some people will say eggs are bad for you, some people say eggs are good for you. If you're getting good free-range eggs from somebody local, like a farmer or people around the corner from you that have chickens that have eggs, those are some of the best eggs you can have, and you're going to get good cholesterol from those eggs, and you're going to get a lot of benefit from those eggs. The other thing they talk about that they tell us is bad for us is butter. Now, our grandparents, depending on how old you are, maybe your great-grandparents, they use butter for everything. It was funny how they got on that lady, Paula Deen, that used to bake all the time, that was on TV before all that stuff, that racism stuff happened. You know, she used butter for everything, real butter. And they talked about, oh, man, that lady's going to have a heart attack, all the butter she used and this, that, and the third. And then come to find out she's diabetic. And she's not diabetic because all the butter she ate. She's diabetic from all the sugar that she put into her food. But they're more worried about, and to her desserts, but they're more worried about the butter. Butter doesn't cause diabetes. But butter is actually really healthy for you. Butter has an acid in it called butyric acid. Butyric acid is what helps cholesterol and helps maintain good cholesterol. And so having butter is very good for you. As long as you don't burn butter, which most people, if you burn butter, you're not going to want to eat it anyway. And when you burn butter, it turns brown. That means it's oxidized. Anything that oxidizes is not good for you. You cut an apple open and you set it on the counter and you eat part of it and the other part of it turns brown. It's oxidized. The oils from the apple rise to the top and they mix with the air. Air has moisture in it. Oil and water don't mix, so the oil in the egg, the oil in the apple, the natural oils that are within an apple, if you do an avocado, it's the same thing. It has that natural oil in it. Same thing if you do a potato. Same thing if you do a banana. We can go on and on. But those particular foods have oils in them that rise to the surface when you break them apart or you cut them. When they mix with air, because that moisture hits it, it oxidizes it. That's the same thing that happens with oil. You have oil in a bottle, and when you pour some of that oil out, and people say, well, what about olive oil? What about coconut oil? It's not the oil itself a lot of times. It's how the oil is contained and how long you have the oil. So you'll take the top off the oil. You'll pour some oil into your skillet or whatever, your salad, and you put the top on. And when you put the top on it, now you have a gap from where how much oil you had at the beginning to where the oil actually is. Well, in between that gap is air. That air is oil. That air is moisture. And so that moisture mixes with the oil. Oil and water doesn't mix. So that oil begins to oxidize the same way that happens with apples and bananas and the things I just named. So that oil, since that oil has oxidized, it becomes free radical, or free radicals get in that oil, just like free radicals get on that apple or that banana. Same thing. When you do it with butter, and you get butter too hot, the steam and all of that causes the butter to oxidize. It turns brown. You do it with a piece of metal. A piece of metal, you leave a piece of metal outside that's not protected, it will rust. It oxidizes. It turns brown. Nature is the same no matter what. And so we talk about using butter because you can cook butter on low heat. You can keep butter in the refrigerator. It's always white until you burn it. Starts to oxidize. So that's why oils aren't good for you, because oils oxidize. The more air you have in that bottle, the more oxidation you have. So by the time you finish a bottle of oil, when you get down to the last quarter of the bottle, that's just oil full of free radicals. And those free radicals get into your body and they attack your cells, and that's what you get called, it's called free radical damage to your cells. I like to think of it as like piranhas or magnets that attach themselves to a cell. And they cause that cell not to be able to function properly. It's almost like a leech on your body. It's just sucking away all your nutrients. It's sucking away your blood. It's sucking away all the things that your life's blood. That's the same thing what happens with oxidative or free radical cells. So the more damage we have, the more free radical cell, more cells that we have that have free radical damage to them, the more problems we tend to have. So one of the big things to help maintain our cholesterol is, like I said, because our body makes 80% of the cholesterol we need, eating butter, eating eggs, those things help with the aid of giving us that extra level to get to that 100% of cholesterol, because 80% is made and manufactured in the body. So it's important with your diet to eat the foods that are good foods, that are healthy foods, but also that will allow you to continue to maintain good cholesterol. With cholesterol, they call it good cholesterol and bad cholesterol when you get your cholesterol taken. And when you have bad cholesterol, all that means, so basically the best way to put this is good cholesterol is the cholesterol that's going into the liver. And bad cholesterol is the cholesterol that's leaving the liver, okay? And really, that's not even, they give a number to that. So they'll say your HDL, which is your high-density lipoprotein, or your LDL, which is your low-density lipoprotein. That's the numbers, and then your VDL, those are the numbers that they use to measure cholesterol. They'll give you a number, and they'll say, oh, your good cholesterol was 90 and your bad cholesterol was 150. So your cholesterol is bad and you need to lower your cholesterol. Well, let's look at the other side of that, because that's where the story normally stops. And most of us don't know that there's another side to that story, which is the truth. But you just never get the whole truth. One, because the medical system maybe aren't really educated on it, because all they get is about 30 minutes of nutrition and health in their time in medical school. They go to school for 8 years and they get very little nutritional training. You can do your own poll or do your own research, and you can ask your physician, your primary care, your OBGYN, anybody, your pediatrician, anybody you go to as a doctor, you ask them how much nutritional training they got. And if they're honest with you, they'll tell you either very little or none or whatever the case may be. So when we talk about HDL and LDL, that's not really cholesterol. That's why they call them high-density lipoprotein. Those are proteins. That's not cholesterol. Those are proteins that carry the cholesterol. So it's like the chauffeur. It's like cholesterol is in a limousine, and the limousine is the protein, and the cholesterol is in the back of the limousine. That's what you're measuring, how many limousines we have that have cholesterol in them. It's not the level of cholesterol that the body's needing or using. Because you can have a limousine that's got one cholesterol in it. You can have a limousine that's got 20 cholesterols in it, but it's still one limousine. So that protein that's carrying cholesterol, it ranges. But they look at a number of proteins and they determine from that if cholesterol is good or bad. Let's talk about that. Cholesterol does two things. Cholesterol makes cells, CELLS, makes cells, and cholesterol makes hormones. That's all cholesterol wants to do in the body. That's its only real function. So when your cholesterol is quote-unquote high, that's a red warning light in your car, basically saying that, hey, I'm going someplace a lot of times, or there's a fire somewhere and I need to go and put it out. That's the red warning light in your car. When your red warning light in your car comes on, that red warning light is not the problem. The red warning light is indicating to you that there is a problem, but that in and of itself is not the problem. It's the same with cholesterol, cholesterol being the red warning light, or cholesterol being the firefighter. The cholesterol is going to fight the fire. That's not the cause of the fire. So the body calls for cholesterol because, like I talked about with the oils, those free radicals in the oils attach themselves to cells and they get damaged. Well, when they get damaged, what do they do? Well, when they're on fire, like your house would be, what do? They call for cholesterol. Because cholesterol does what? Cholesterol makes cells, and cholesterol makes hormones. So cholesterol is leaving the liver at a high rate because you have a lot of free radical damaged cells, especially in your arteries. Why? Because we consume a lot of fried foods, or we consume a lot of oil in the traditional American diet because the FDA and the system has done such a great job telling us how bad butter is for us. You need to take butter with oil in it, like margarine. That's really bad for you. Or you need to get Smart Balance oil and all these other oils, all these other butters, Country Crock. When you read them, they have oil added to them. So basically, they've taken something that was completely fine. Butter has three ingredients: sweet cream, milk, and if it's salted butter, it has salt. If it doesn't have salt, then it's unsalted butter, and it's two ingredients. That's all. So they've taken something perfectly fine and added oil to it. Why? Because they know the effects of oil. The other big thing about oil is that when in the 80s, when we got away from butter, it was because, and you can look this up, Crisco hit the market. Do you know that Crisco used to be a diesel lubricant, and they had so much of it left over from the wars that they decided, what are we going to do with it? Because we don't need it anymore, and they tried to use it as a car grease or a car lube. That didn't work. Then they sent it to Procter and Gamble, and they said, okay, well, what can we do with this? Can we use it as a food grade material? So if you look up the name Ansel Keys, they were instrumental in taking Crisco and pitching it to the American Heart Association, dumping so much money into the promotion of Crisco and the degradation of butter and all of those things, and telling you that lard is bad for you and butter is bad for you, but you can use this Crisco. They started selling it on the market, and that was an oil or a lubricant. So now you got Crisco on the market, and now they're telling you butter and oil and lard and those things are super bad for you. But yet we got grandparents and parents, depending on your age, in their 80s and 90s and healthy. They grew up on farms eating butter. But now all of a sudden you're going to tell them that's bad for them. But Crisco happens to be okay. So they took this, and please Google that. It's just good to know. It's just good information to have to understand how they, because most people don't think that they would just haphazardly just do stuff to us like that. Like, why would they do that? Why would anybody do that? Why would they take a diesel lubricant and give it to us? It's the same way they put flame retardant in Gatorade and in Mountain Dew. It's the same way they put all these red dyes and all these colorings, these food colorings, into a lot of the foods we eat that cause cancer. They know this. The FDA is the Food and Drug Administration, housed in one building. They know this. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they know this. That's why certain foods you buy, you look at the back and they'll have a number, a 1-800 number to the CDC or poison control. They put propylene glycol in your shampoos and conditioners and lotions and toothpaste in Mountain Dew. That's the leading ingredient in antifreeze. If a dog would lick antifreeze off the ground, it drip because it smells sweet and they lick it, a dog would die. But yet we get little doses of it every single day. Propylene glycol. You go right now, or when you get off this call or whatever you're doing, and go look at it and see in your cabinet, in the medicine cabinet, in the bathroom, where your shampoos and conditioners are and your lotions are, and you'll see it on the back of there. And then go and Google and see what it is. So they purposely do these things. Because, again, the health system is a for-profit organization. If nobody's sick, they make no money. So I digress a little bit. So back to cholesterol. Cholesterol is making cells because they're oxidative or damaged cells in the body. So cholesterol is going to that area. It's covering that area. And it's basically working to repair by creating new cells, but also protect that area until it can get what it needs to get done. And then it'll remove itself or it'll dissolve itself. But because we continue to have that damage over and over and over again, it goes there, it hardens, then the medical system will say, oh, you have plaque in your arteries, that's cholesterol. No, that is not cholesterol. That is the byproduct of the damage that has been done to the cells. Cholesterol has been trying to fix. Don't ever think that cholesterol clogs your arteries, because you have cholesterol in your blood, but you've never heard anybody having clogged veins. So it's not cholesterol. It's the trans fats and all of the oxidation from the oils that we eat that calcify that causes that plaque. And it's just the cholesterol trying to go there to break it down. Cholesterol also makes hormones. Progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone are male and female hormones. Women have more estrogen and some testosterone, and males have more testosterone and some estrogen. It's not a balance, but there's a ratio. So hormones are 100% by weight cholesterol. So all estrogen is cholesterol. All progesterone is cholesterol. All testosterone is cholesterol. And if you ever, and what happens, and when the reason why we know that we're not getting enough cholesterol or our cholesterol is too low, is because you have clinics out here that do hormone replacement therapy for women. And hormone replacement therapy is nothing but a kicked up cholesterol regimen that they manage it or mask it. Also, men, you know that your cholesterol is not right or is too low, because when you look at these commercials on TV for all these erectile dysfunction drugs, low T and ED and all of those things, if testosterone is 100% cholesterol and you're not managing your body, that means you don't have enough cholesterol, especially that hormone. So therefore, they created a pill that you take that's cholesterol that adds more blood and circulation to a certain area, but it's still cholesterol, but it's masked. That's the genius of what the FDA can do and the CDC can do. They can take a perfectly good thing called cholesterol, make it the boogeyman, and then create treatments around it by using it and putting it on another name and then patenting it. They do it all the time. When you look at the rate of breast cancer in America, breast cancer kills more women, I believe, than any other cancer. It used to be lung cancer was number one, and now I think it's breast cancer. And then heart disease, of course, is the big one, which kills more people than anybody. And we just talked about why. Because we have that oxidative stress and all of those damaged cells in those big arteries where you have all that blood flowing and all that blood pumping. And that blood is damaged. That blood has so many, the red blood cells have so much stress and have so many free radicals attached to them that it can't be healthy. And so that causes the heart to be diseased. Valves don't open and close properly. The cells aren't functioning properly. But when you talk about this estrogen, the precursors of estrogen are made within the liver. It's called estradiol and estradol. And again, cholesterol is produced in the liver. So when the cholesterol level is off, especially if you're on cholesterol-lowering drugs, the 80% of cholesterol that your body normally makes, and you're on cholesterol-lowering drugs, it's not making that anyway. Or if you're not consuming if you're on a cholesterol-restricted diet, whether your doctor put it on it or you just feel like it's healthy for you to stay away from things that cause or that quote-unquote give you high cholesterol, your estrogen levels become off. And then that's what a lot of the breast cancers that you look at today, they're estrogen-induced breast cancer because your hormones are out of control. So that's another situation. Plus the amount people got away from milk and they got away from, you know, cow's milk and all of those things, a lot of people switched to soy. Soy has a lot of estrogen properties in it as well. Soy has as much problem as far as hormone goes than milk because a lot of the soy is genetically modified within the United States. Soybeans, mostly the actual bean itself, even before the farmer plants, those are genetically modified. They cannot grow them in a good condition anymore. Just like wheat, our temperatures are too crazy. Whether you believe in global warming or not, it's April, and one week it snows, and the next day it's 80 degrees, or 75 degrees, and then 2 days later it snows. That's not right. Trees and flowers are about to pollinate and bud, and then you have a frost that comes through, or you have a cold that comes through. The climate and the condition and the soils have been so over-farmed and so overused that there is no nutrients in the soil. So there's no nutrients in the food, which means food can't grow like it should, and they have to genetically modify it. Plus, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Remember, it was only used to be like 4 billion people on the planet. Now there's 7 billion people, and most of those have to be fed. Plus, the animals need to be fed, and animals don't eat genetically modified food. So therefore, the good food that they do manage to grow has to go for feed for the animals. And then the rest goes to us, and then they genetically modify some of it. So with this cholesterol, if your cholesterol levels aren't good, meaning too low, you have more instances of heart attacks and strokes. You have more instances of your body just doesn't feel right. You have erectile dysfunction. You have hormone issues. Another big, big, big one is the Alzheimer's and dementia. Because if you ever looked at a brain, the white part of your brain, the white matter of your brain, if you ever seen a brain that looks white with a lot of wrinkles in it, I guess depending on how smart you are, if your brain is smooth and don't have no wrinkles, then you might not be that smart. I'm just playing. But the more wrinkles you have, you know, they say that, you know, you're pretty smart. I guess they look at it like a tree. The more rings you have on a tree, the older the tree is, the smarter it should be. But the white matter of the brain is the myelin, and then you see these little veins or these little gray veins or lines running through it. Those are nerves. And so the myelin is insulation for the nerves. Everybody's seen a piece of wire before, like electrical wire, whether it be the one that you got your light hooked up to or the one that your cable wire is that you hook up to the back of your TV, or your Ethernet cord that you put on the side of your computer, or the cord that you use to plug your computer in, all of them have like a black covering on it. And if you were to take that black covering off, the wires are exposed. So the reason why they put the black covering over it is to keep, one, you from getting shocked, and two, from the wires from short-circuiting. So just if you took the cord to your computer or took the cord to your phone, your cell phone, or whatever, and it's white, or even like these earbuds, this insulation is white. And when you do, that's equivalent to the myelin around your brain. That's protecting the nerves of the brain. That's protecting those nerves, those lines that's running through the brain. Well, that myelin is 75% by weight cholesterol. It's made up of cholesterol, 75% by weight cholesterol. So if you're on a cholesterol-restricted diet or you're taking cholesterol-lowering drugs, this myelin can't be fed. So it starts to deteriorate. And when the myelin deteriorates, now those naked nerve fibers are exposed. And when they touch another naked nerve fiber, just like when you touch two wires together, there's a short circuit. The breaker trips in the panel. You got to go reset it. The lights go out. It's the same thing with Alzheimer's or certain dementias. That myelin has been worn out to the point where these naked nerve fibers touch together, and now you have memory loss. The quote-unquote lights go out. You don't remember who your parents are. You don't remember who your children are. You don't remember who your grandchildren are or your siblings are. And then depending on what part of the brain it happens first, you can have short-term memory loss where you may remember things all the way from when you were a child vividly, but can't remember what store you went to the day before. And how some of us had that problem now, just regular. But I'm just speaking about, you know, the instances and how Alzheimer's has come on. And then the system will tell you that, oh, we don't know what causes Alzheimer's. But more and more people are getting it. I think there was a People magazine out a couple years ago, or Time magazine, one of the two, and it talked about 10 ways to reduce your risk of Alzheimer's. Well, if you don't know how it's caused, what 10 ways are you going to tell me to reduce it if you don't know what causes it? They know exactly what causes it. But if they told you what causes it, then so many other things would be fixed in your body. Your hormones would be better because you would be eating more cholesterol. You would be eating more butter. You would be eating more eggs. And if your hormones are better, then there's no need for erectile dysfunction drugs. There's no need for hormone replacement therapy. There's no need for these women who are going through menopause at such a rate that is through the roof. I mean, they're suffering with hot flashes, night sweats, irritable, all because their doctor told them, oh, keep your cholesterol low. And then if you ask people, especially men who may take erectile dysfunction drugs, or you ask women who are going through hormone replacement therapy, or you find out from an Alzheimer's person, ask them what the doctor said about the cholesterol. Just ask them. And if they said that their cholesterol is good, you already know it's too low. Because those are the effects that happen when your cholesterol is too low. Now, when your cholesterol is too high, and it can be too high, you get around 300, 400, that's kind of high. Now, the Inuit Eskimos up in Alaska, because all they eat is whale meat and whale blubber and seal meat and seal blubber and all of these different meats of all these fatty animals, their cholesterol is about 400 or 500. And they have a lower risk and a lower rate of heart disease than the United States. So, you know, up in Alaska where they eat that way and then growing up to eat that way, their cholesterol is in the range of 400 to 500. And they have no heart disease. And then you come down here to the lower 49 state and you start to eat this American diet, and then you think you're going to die, and then you go back home and you start eating what you used to eat growing up, and you find out you're healthy all over again. It happens. There's plenty of stories out there. When your cholesterol is extremely high, especially here in America, a lot of times it's because you have so many damaged cells. And so I look at diabetics. Diabetics, type 2 diabetics, tend to have a higher level of cholesterol. Why? Because like I told you, when cholesterol is leaving the liver, it's going somewhere to fight. It's not just that you got bad cholesterol. The bad cholesterol is that there's something bad going on in the body that cholesterol is going there to figure out what's going on and how it can help to fix it. That's the bad when you think of the bad. It's not that you got cholesterol on this side of the room that's good and cholesterol that's on this side of the room is like thugs or something. That's not that good and bad. It's good and bad in the sense of why it's going there and where it's going and the fact that you have some coming in, but you have so much trying to go out. And when you look at type 2 diabetics, when we talk about diabetes, we talk about cell receptors. And these cell receptors are supposed to open and close to take in insulin. And when those cell receptors stop working because you have a deficiency of chromium and vanadium and about 20 or some other cofactors, the insulin can't get into the cell. And that, because that receptor is not open and closing. So that's a damaged cell. And so the more, and then they give you insulin, meaning you're making insulin. The doctors say, okay, well, you're not absorbing the insulin, so let me give you some more, which is absolutely the wrong thing to do. So they put you on insulin, your body's making insulin, and it starts to beat against that cell door because it's not opening and closing, and it busts through there, and now that cell has become damaged. It's like kicking the door off the hinges in your house or somebody running their car through the garage door. It's damaged. The frame is damaged. The lock is damaged. That's the same thing that happens to that cell. So in diabetics, because they have so many damaged cells because of their bodies are so overrun with insulin, and that insulin is forcing itself into the cell, it's causing the cells to become damaged. And when those cells become damaged, now cholesterol has to go there to try to repair those cells or fix those cells. And if your cholesterol is too low, you don't have enough to go around to help out. If your cholesterol, and so it drives your cholesterol up to send more firemen out to the fire, to fight the fire. We had a lot of damaged cells. It's like a big plane crash or a big pileup on a highway where you had a lot of people in accidents or a shooting where massive people, a bunch of people have been shot. They send so many ambulances, so many fire trucks to that scene. It's the same thing with cholesterol. So many ambulances, so many fire trucks, so much cholesterol going there to fix those cells. So that drives the level of cholesterol up. So when you look at diabetics, that's why they tend to have a higher risk of high cholesterol, really high cholesterol. So it's not the problem. It's not the cholesterol that's the problem. It's the where the cholesterol is going that's the problem. And so that's why one of the things that works so well with getting type 2 diabetics off of medication and becoming ex-type 2 diabetics is just giving them the nutrients that their body's missing to help those cell receptors open and close. It's really just that simple. But picture the medical system saying, you type 2 diabetic, you give me 90 days, 2 weeks to 90 days, and let me give your body what it needs, and we'll see how your body responds. Go exercise, go work out, eat a good diet, all the things you're supposed to do anyway, and we're going to make sure that your body's getting the proper nutrients that it needs. And in 90 days max, you become an ex-type 2 diabetic, say. Now imagine how many ex-type 2 diabetics that would be, especially when America, one in three Americans are diabetic or pre-diabetic. There's about 300 million people in America, so that's 100 million people that are diabetic. Now imagine those 100 million people that are type 2 diabetic, and I don't know specifically if type 1 is mixed into that. There is a difference, and so I want to make that clear that type 1 may be in that. So just say type 1 and type 2 diabetes, because type 1 diabetics, they don't make insulin. So they definitely have to be on insulin. It's something they have to do for the rest of their life. And that normally happens a lot of times when they're born. Type 2 diabetics, you kind of acquire over a period of time. But just say even if you take a quarter of that 100 million type 1 diabetics, that's 25 million people. You said they're all type 1. They're going to need the insulin. But you take the other 75 million, for instance, and you say, okay, we're going to make all of y'all ex-type 2 diabetics in 90 days. Or should we put you on insulin for the rest of your life? We'll know that you're going to need glasses and eye surgeries because your eyes are going to get bad. We know that your feet are going to swell because of circulation and blood flow because you have so many damaged cells, so you will need the special shoes with the Velcro on them. You're going to need the special socks, the TED hose. You're going to need all of those particular things, and we can create a market for all of that. Plus, we can get kickbacks on the insulin that we give you. So one type 2 diabetic patient, if they type 2 diabetic for 15 or 20 years, a doctor will make $750,000 off of that one patient. Or for about $1,500 to $2,000 in 90 days, he can make you an ex-type 2 diabetic. Now, if you're a businessman, which investment would you go for? Or if you're in a for-profit industry, what would you go for? You would go for the one that's the longest and that's going to make you the most money. Who wouldn't? Problem is, when you do that with people, it's a special place for you. Investments are one thing, but when you invest in people's health, and the worse they are in health, the more you profit from it, something to be said about that. Truly. So type 2 diabetics go through hell because their cholesterol is always high because it's trying to go and fight places, and that's what I'm trying to say. So whether your cholesterol is low or whether your cholesterol is high, it's not the cholesterol that's the problem. That's the red warning light in the car. The problem is where the cholesterol is going or whether you have enough of it to go. And so that's like when you have a small town and a tragedy happens in a small town and they have to call in fire trucks from another city or a neighboring county or a bunch of support comes from another state to go help out. Not having enough cholesterol. That's having more stuff going on in your body, more cells needing to be repaired, more damage needing to be repaired, more hormones need to be made than cholesterol you have. That's what happens when your cholesterol is too low. Therefore, you don't have no support system. You call them for help, but nobody's coming. So the situation is just getting worse and worse. So cholesterol is good for you. We need it. It's not a boogeyman. It's not bad for you. It's the savior. It's help. It's something that has been given to us to allow ourselves to stay healthy. It's our mechanism that repairs us. We always talk about how the body can heal itself. And cholesterol is a big deal. Now, what happens on the outside of your body? You cut yourself. I don't care what you do to that cut. Man, nature, the creator, has made it such that that cut will have a scab on it at some point in time. That's amazing. And a scab forms to protect that area. It's hard, it's crusty, and at some point in time, you might pick the scab. When you pick the scab, what happens? It bleeds again, it scabs over again. Why? Because it's not finished doing its work yet. Then, at some point in time, you leave it alone because it either hurts, or you know you need to leave it alone so it can get better, and that scab will fall off. Or you go one day and you pull the scab off and it comes right off, and under there the skin looks just like nothing ever happened. Or you might have a scar there, but there's no damage, there's no hole there, there's no scratch there. It may be the indication of one, but you have skin, you have formation back in that area. It's the same thing cholesterol does inside of the body for your cells, for your arteries, for all the places in your body that need that kind of attention. That's what cholesterol does. The cholesterol is a scab that forms to protect the damaged area on the inside of your body, if I could put it any other way. And so you wouldn't call that scab a disease. You wouldn't call that scab a problem. You say, man, I got this scab. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got this scab. You know you have the scab because it just you naturally know that that's what happens when you cut yourself. There's a scab that's going to form. And then you say, oh, let me put some cocoa butter on it, or let me put some shea butter on it, or some vitamin E oil on it. Because why? That's the nutrients that you need to feed your skin to make it healthy, to keep it healthy. So if you're taking these nutrients on a day-to-day basis, they're already in your body. But if you're not, you add those things. And so when that scab forms, it's still going to scab, but what you're trying to control is how it heals to where you have that skin go back and look like the rest of itself, because it's not deficient in any nutrients. So when you talk about a scab on the outside of the body and you pick with that scab, or you pick with that same area, that's the same thing, that's the same problem cholesterol is having inside of your body. You continue to damage your cells, you continue to eat fried foods, you continue to eat oil, you continue to do things that are allowing your body to oxidize on the inside. It's like you're picking the same scab over and over again, and it's not healing. So cholesterol is going there. Cholesterol is going in there. Cholesterol is going there. Now, what happens when you pick a scab enough, or you have a really bad scab, and you have a really bad cut or area, you keep picking with it, you keep messing with it, or it doesn't heal properly, then what happens? It gets a keloid. A keloid then happens what? It gets hard if you don't manage it. And once it gets hard, there's not too much you can do anything about it, because now scar tissue has built up in that area to protect it for good. We're just going to shut the shop down right here. It's the same thing that's happening inside of your body. What goes on the inside goes on the outside. As above, so below. So if you could picture these things and cholesterol being these things to the inside of your body, when you talk about that plaque that's around the arteries that's really, really hard, that's cholesterol keeps trying to get to that area and protect that area. Then at some point in time, the scar tissue builds up, in that artery, and it gets really hard, and now that artery that used to be open like this is now this big because it's got all of that plaque and everything inside of it, that's scar tissue, that's damage, that's cholesterol gumped up in there trying to work. It's the same thing. And so if I can drive any point home to you, it's to understand that cholesterol is not the boogeyman. Cholesterol is here to help. So you have to maintain a good cholesterol level. My cholesterol is about 225. And I've had a conversation with a couple of doctors, ones that I've gone to see for my annual physical. And the last one I've seen that I see maybe about 4 to 5 years, I've been seeing him. And we have a great conversation now because he's a small guy, very small in the sense of stature, not real tall. He's about 5'9", and he maybe about 140 pounds, and white guy, and he has high cholesterol. His cholesterol is through the roof, and he says, man, I have to run. I have to do all of these things to keep my cholesterol down. And I said, well, what's high? He said, oh, man, it's around 125, 150. But it's the same guy, can't remember anything if he don't write it down. Why? Because that myelin is deteriorating. That's the same guy. Now, he's small. He exercises. He works out all the time, but his cholesterol is still high because he's restricting his cholesterol because he thinks that the number that he is too high when it's really not. He's trying to get down below 100. He wants his cholesterol to be down around 80. So he's literally killing himself trying to lower his cholesterol, which is not a problem. And then he'll have a conversation with me about my cholesterol. And we've gone back and forth. We've had some great discussions about it. And when I started to explain kind of what I explained today during one of our appointments, because these are the kind of conversations we had during my physical, he started to see it. And I think it was right around the time Good Morning America came on, and they said, oh, the FDA and all of them say you can start eating your eggs again, and you can start putting butter on, you can start eating butter and putting butter on your toast and stop using margarine and all of these things. And it was right around that time him and I had that conversation. And he said, you know what? He said, over the last few years, you've been really consistent. Your cholesterol has been really consistent. You're a healthy guy, you know, and, you say you eat a lot of eggs and butter and those things. And, you know, he said, I'm almost sold that, you know, this cholesterol thing is kind of something that we've just been misled on. And I said, well, good. And I said, well, are you going to tell your other patients? He said, oh, no. But got to start somewhere. So that was very validating. Although I don't necessarily need validation because truth don't need to be validated. It just needs to be in motion all the time, and people will finally catch on to it. But, you know, just understand that we need cholesterol. You need good cholesterol. And if you're suffering from any of the things that we talked about, the hormone problems, the memory problems, the Parkinson's, a lot of other things, then, you know, that can be a problem. And Kay, you're right, you know, unethical, but at the same time, you know, she said it's unethical probably because he knows something different and is not telling his patients. I think that's where she's coming from. But the problem is, within the medical system, there is no law. They're self-binding, they're self-policing. So there is no law that says they have to cure you even if there's a cure available. So even if they know something that's going to help you, they don't have to tell you. That's in their books. So, you know, and they'll tell you, oh, well, there's not enough studies on it. There's not enough. Well, who, when we talk about studies, who finances these studies? It's the same system that's causing our downfall that finances these studies, and they skew the books to come up with the outcomes that they want. And the reason you know that is because if you listen to any commercial, pay attention tonight. A commercial that comes on, and I'm sure all of you have seen it, a drug commercial. They'll explain the drug to you, and in a low voice or really fast, they'll explain all the side effects. Now, just imagine, and people still will go out and use that drug, but just imagine if they told you all the side effects first, if they came on and they had people in wheelchairs and walkers and they showed funerals, because that's all the things they show you, somebody that's halfway bent over or has got dry mouth or they've got wheezing and they're sneezing and all of the side effects, if they showed all of that first and then say, oh, go try this drug for your low cholesterol, or go try this drug, this statin, to lower your cholesterol, but you've seen all that other stuff first, man, nobody would do it. But yet and still, they'll show somebody running in the park or playing with their grandkids or eating ice cream or something crazy. And then while you sitting there looking at that and not even really paying attention, by the time they finish telling you what the drug is for, then that's when they start to run down the side effects. They change the music on you, the people smiling and laughing, and then they sitting there telling you in a low voice, could cause anal bleeding, could cause blindness, could cause wheezing, all these things. And, you know, nobody pays attention to it. And what I find that when I meet with a lot of people, especially people who are on medication, that's kind of the first question I ask them before we even get into their issues. Are you on any medication? Yes. Go get the medication you're on or tell me what medication you're on. So I'll look at the medication. I'll look at the side effects of those medications. And I'll ask you, how long have you been on them? Then I'll say, okay, now, tell me what issues you're having. And you'd be surprised how you can tie back so many issues people have to their medication. So the first thing to do is figure out how to get them off the medication. And that's not something that I'm capable of doing because I'm not their doctor. And so, and I didn't put them on the medication. I didn't prescribe them anything. So that part ain't my job. So the only thing I can do is educate them and then explain to them why they have these particular deficiencies in nutrients that also cause you to get these particular issues. And so we hope that getting the nutrients back into the body will then give you what you need so that you can then go back to your doctor and he can wean you off your medication. Because now you've been eating your eggs, you've been eating your butter, you've been taking all the nutrients you need, so your cholesterol levels are coming up and you're feeling better. So you go back to your doctor and you say, why am I on these statin drugs? I've been on them for 10 years or I've been on them for 5 years and I stopped taking them, or I've been cutting back because I've been eating more butter, or I've been eating more eggs. I've been taking these nutrients that help my body, and I feel 10 times better. Please take me off of this medication because it's not helping me. And sometimes doctors will go down kicking and screaming why they can't take you off of it. And then at some point in time, you just have to wean yourself off of it. That's what you feel like you can do. That's when you have to take it into your own discretion. You know how you feel when you wake up. You know how you go to sleep when you go to bed at night. You know that. Somebody you see for 5 minutes and look at a chart and take a little bit of blood work will have you out your mind. So sometimes we have to use a little bit of common knowledge and common logic. And so that's my goal, is to just continue to educate and just give you the other side of the story so that you can make a rational decision on how you want to control your health. And if there's anything that I can do with that, by putting you in the right place or making sure that you have some nutrients or talking to you about different nutrients. And that's why multivitamins are so big on the market now. A lot of these multivitamins are made by drug companies. You think they're going to put all the nutrients that you need in that multivitamin? They're not going to step on their own toes. That's like these soda companies started making bottled water, and it's just reclaimed water from the plant. That's all it is. It doesn't have any nutrients in it. It's not really good for you. It's just tap water from the plant. Reclaim tap water from the plant. You know, when you make a Pepsi or you make a Coke, it's got water in it. But that water has to be conditioned. They add bubbles to the water. You might have seen some of these soda makers that they have in TJ Maxx and places you can buy them, Big Bath and Beyond. And you make soda and you add a certain amount of carbonation to it. And you add a certain amount of color and caramel and all these different food colorings and dyes and all of that stuff into it, and then you have soda. Well, they have a big plant, and they're cycling water through this plant. And it takes a process that they use a certain amount. If it's a 2-liter bottle, if it's a 20-ounce bottle, they use a certain amount, and they got that thing dialed in. But that water that ends up going through the system is like reclaimed water. Same thing when you look like a fountain. You got all that fountain water. They don't keep adding water to the fountain. I mean, they may add a little bit, but it's the same water. It gets sucked back, and it goes back up the fountain. It comes down and sucks back, goes up and down. So there's a certain amount that goes up, comes down. That's what they're using when they create bottled water. So Nestle, Dasani, I think, is made by Coca-Cola. So that it's just a couple. So, you know, when you think about even bottled water you're going by, and then you look at the bottles of water, and the bottles aren't BPA-free. So these plastic bottles are full of toxins, and that gets into the water. And then we drink the water. That's just tap water anyway, reclaimed tap water. You know, and I swear, man, we try to be so good, but what they give us to work with is just, it's a bad thing. We don't get much good stuff to work with. And you're not going to see this type of show that I'm speaking about on the 6 o'clock news, or you're not going to see anybody that talks about this in mainstream. Because people start to use logic, and they say, you know what? Even if you garner a thought is an amazing thing. Because you have that 1 second, you just run through life, you run through life, you run through life, and all of a sudden you hear something and you stop, and now you have a thought. And a thought can go anywhere you want it to go. A thought has changed the world. A thought has changed people's lives. A thought has said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now that I know why I can't do this. That's right. I appreciate that. Growing your garden, putting the nutrients in your soil, all of those things are super, super important. And so you got to control what you can control, how you can control it. But it starts with us. It starts with you. Everybody wants to go out and do this great big thing, and that's great. But it starts with you. And it starts with me. And that's why, you know, this transformation that I'm going through, I'm doing it publicly. You know, I get on here every Tuesday and I get to speak to everybody, and people chime in, and I'm so glad for the dialogue, and I really appreciate it, and discussion, because that's what it really should be about. And people chime in and we talk. People come on for a second and they listen and they leave. But I'm here. But that's a different platform. But for you to see what I go through day to day, trying to maintain my health and understand that that's important. Mentally, it's important to read and to meditate, to do things that will help you, or pray, whatever it is for you, to help you kind of stay sane in this crazy world. And then to be able to treat your body right, to make that decision. Do you want to get the candy bar, or do you just want to go buy a bag of almonds? Well, sometimes do I have the candy bar? Hell yeah, I'm human. Damn right. But I know for sure that it ain't going to be often. Now, so, you know, to be able to, and that's why I say this live, to be able to do the radio show for 4 years and still do that now is wonderful. I love that. But people don't see me and I don't see them. But the one thing about this Facebook Live that I really love is that I'm looking at myself the whole time I'm speaking, which means I'm talking to me. It's just people that have joined the conversation, people who have stopped by. So it's no better way than to have this transparency, to hold in the mirror in front of your own face. So this helps me probably way more than it helps anybody who chimes in on this thing, because it keeps me honest. I have to research. I have to read. I have to learn. I have to be ready to come here every Tuesday with something. And a lot of the 3 to 4 years that I've studied has really helped, because a lot of times I'm busy up until the point that I get on here. And I may not have prepared, but I may have to go back to some old stuff in my mind that I've gone over, that I've covered, or that I've paid attention to, and put something together. But for the most part, I'm always trying to learn and read and take a week. And even times, I don't even know what I'm going to talk about before I get on here. I swear I don't. But sometimes I have no clue. 6 o'clock roll around, and I'm like, man, I got to come up with something by 7 o'clock. And then at other times, like when I get off of here now, there'll be something that'll pop in my mind, or somebody will bring up something. Somebody, I get texts, I get Facebook, I get inboxes, I get messages, and I say, you know what? That's what we're going to talk about, because it's really about you guys and what it is I can do to help bring more attention to something you might be going through. But there are times that I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So it's for me always a process, always learning, always moving, trying to get better, trying to grow. And, you know, as a human being, you make so many mistakes in life. You have so many problems. Things happen to you. Things happen for you. You know, it's not what happens to you. It's not something that's happening to you. It's happening for you. But sometimes that cloud and that darkness is too far to see right then. We all go through it. I definitely go through it. But these type of things, being here every week, living this life, being able to talk to people, being able to help people, and just give information, you know, there is no dollar you can put on that. So that's my passion. And thanks to my mother for helping me find that, because if she never told me before she passed away from cancer to not let this happen to anybody else, I don't think 8 months after her passing I would have been here. So I give her all the credit. She gave me life, and she found my life by giving her life and telling me what I should do. And that was her way, on her bed 2 days before she passed away, of telling me, don't ever let this happen to anybody else. And I didn't know what that meant. I just said, okay. And 8 months later, to the day, I found out what it was. And that was in January. She passed away January 2011. And in August of 2011 is when I found Youngevity and Dr. Wallach and that family. And ever since then, I took about 3 or 4 years of just studying and moving and learning and researching and all of that. So I did a lot of work before I even was able to have a radio show, or before I was even able to get on a Facebook Live, or even able to have a conversation. So a lot of this was done in the dark. Now, when you know something, you got to tell people. You know something good, you tell people. Imagine all the people telling people they had to go see Black Panther. All the people tell you got to go to this particular restaurant or try this particular food. Imagine if we did the same thing with our health. Imagine if just one of us said, you know what, I'm really going to drill down into my health. I'm going to make a change for myself no matter what it takes. And I'm going to be that example. And then I'm going to tell everybody to do what I did, or tell everybody to go try this. Just try it. And then find out if they get the same result. Because that's what this really is about, is being the example for the people that are close to us and being around us. So it's 8:15, about 1 hour and 15 minutes, but I really appreciate the dialogue. Thank you, Antoinette. Thank you, Kay. Thank you for everybody who chimed in, who joined in, who watched, whether you watch for 2 seconds, whether you watch for the whole hour, it doesn't matter. On the radio, thank you for joining in. Thank you for tuning in. And if you need a recording of the show, if you're on Facebook Live, you know, go to my page, Donald Snowden, and it's a public page, so it's there. If you're on the radio and you want a radio recording, which is me without the video, of course, you can text me at 919-599-0916, and I will send you a recording of the show. The recording is normally done about an hour, put together about an hour or so after the show has ended, and I get everything shut down. But I can send you that. If you heard something today that you felt like somebody in your family should have heard, your friends should have heard, whoever it might be, share the call with them, share the video with them. If it's too long, or if it's too much, or if I said it in between the middle of something, call me, inbox me. Say, hey, I have this person that going through this particular thing that you talked about. I really need you to talk to them. I don't care. My mentor, and I got this from him. I don't know. Both of them, the sweetest people you'll ever meet. And, I mean, they have more money than you can ever imagine. And really for them, it's not about that. It's about giving back. But they will give you their direct phone number. And I thought that was the craziest thing when I first met them. Call me up. Here's my number. And so people ask me all the time, why do you give your number out? Because this is my life. It's all I got. I got to be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I give my number out because I'm truly serious about helping. I don't have no Google Voice line where you got to go through this line to get to that line. I got one phone number. That's 599-0916, area code 919. And so you call me, you ask me questions. I will talk to your family members. I will talk to your friends. We'll make appointments. We'll do whatever it is we need to do so they get this information. Because so many people are suffering just because they don't have the right information. So many people try so hard to make these changes in life. I've seen, it's amazing that two people, and I'm going to tell a story and I'm getting out of the way, but I had a husband and wife that I'm working with, and I put them on a 30-day detox, both of them. And in about 11, 12 days, the guy had lost, and I posted on my Facebook page. I actually posted his text message on my Facebook page. They were 11 days in, they lost about 18 pounds. He had lost about 18 pounds, and I think at the time his wife had lost about 8 or 9 pounds. That was 11 days in. Now they're finished, the detox, 30 days. They finished on Sunday. He's lost a total of 25 pounds. Now he has more weight to lose, but you can tell that he lost weight. 25 pounds, his wife lost about 13 or 14 pounds in 30 days. And we met last Thursday to talk about what nutritional regimen they need to go on to keep the weight off and to keep the body in a mode of losing weight. Because most people think if I'm not out here walking or running or lifting weights, I can't lose weight. And that's absolutely false, because a lot of the weight we need to lose is an inside thing. It's what's going on the inside of us, not the outside of us. And so we got to get back to repairing the inside, get the body in optimal shape, optimal health on the inside. And when you do that, then the outside, the shell, the facade can be taken care of. But you've got to get the liver back in balance. Everything in your bloodstream filters through your liver. And I try to mention that every single time I'm on here because it's just so important. But he told me, I've lost 18 pounds, and I've lost 25 pounds, and my wife has lost about 12 or 13 pounds, 14, I think, at the most, I think, was the final number. And he said that there was two other people that came to this event that I did that I met them at. And those two people, those two other couples, said to them, man, what you guys been doing? And the event was held at a karate school where my son goes. So we see each other all the time. And those other two people said, man, what did you guys do? You look great. And they said, well, weren't you at the event when Donald came and spoke about the detox and stuff? Yeah, we were there. That's what we did. And these people, you know, some of them decided to go to the gym, continue to go to the gym. Some of them decided to do more karate. They still haven't lost the weight. Because health starts on the inside. Health starts by getting the organs back right. Health starts by getting the liver back in balance. Then everything else after that can start to work. So those are the examples that you like to have and like to create. So then people start to watch you. And then that's how your life grows. That's how people start to take you serious. That's how you get credibility. Because you stick it out. But not only that, you're doing the efficient thing the right way, and not just guessing and hoping. Because a lot of working out, a lot of running, a lot of walking, a lot of just quote-unquote eating right will get you there, but it's a long road if you don't start to get your body back to ground zero, so the things that you do eat, so the workouts that you do do, your body can then respond full and more efficiently. So I hope that this information was valuable to some people. I hope you got something out of it. I hope that you will share this video. I hope that you will share the radio broadcast with people who want to listen to it on a radio podcast type situation. That's all I ask. Every Tuesday is worth it to me for me to come and bring you information if all you do is share it. Because you never know, which I say this a lot, but I got it from my mentor, who he said he got it from his mentor, but you never know what you might say or do today that will affect thousands of people or millions of people tomorrow. And so by you sharing that video and somebody saying you saved my life, there's no better feeling than that. And that's what I feel like every week I show up, that maybe somebody's life I can save, or if nothing else, I can talk to myself to keep me in line. So I look forward to seeing you all next Tuesday. Invite somebody. If you have any questions, inbox me. If you need to call me, like I said, my phone number is 919-599-0916, and leave me a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But, again, I appreciate it, and I love you all. Thank you so much for joining, and we'll see you next week. Good night.